appreciate the privilege of just being here at camp and sharing the Word of God with you here this morning. I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 14. And the message that I believe is going to come forth today here has been, I've preached it in, it's already in there. Right on top of that, Lem, there's nothing right behind that speaker there. There's a few things that I always want to get out of the way before we begin with the Word of God. And that is to begin with the Word of God. Psalm 33 in verse 4, I've said that before, it's one of my favorite verses. It says, the Word of the Lord is right. Psalm 33 in verse 4. We're going to Proverbs 14, but I want to hit a couple of verses. Psalm 33 in verse 4, the Word of the Lord is right. You want to say that with me? The Word of the Lord is right. It's just right. I mean, right is right. The Word of the Lord is right. And if we lose sight of that, then we're headed down the wrong trail. The Word of the Lord is right. Psalm 119 in verse 165 says, great peace have they. Great what? Great peace have they which love thy law, which love the Word of God. Great peace have they. And one of the fruits, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. I stop and think of that in this day. How many believers do you know that have love? Just the first three, love, joy, peace. We're living in a day of turmoil. Even in the, especially in the church house. And that's I'm going today. Brother Finnegan preached about half of what I was going to say last night. But that's all right. But if we have no peace or stability as believers, if we have no peace or stability in God, what can we expect from the world? We're very quick to point it out at the folks in the world and say, yeah, look at that sinner out there. You know, man, he's drunk, he's doing drugs, and he's doing this. And that person, you know, they're committing adultery, and they're doing this, and look at that. And to point at the turmoil in the world. But what about the turmoil right in our own hearts, and our own homes, our own churches, and throughout the... not my church, brother. Oh no, we don't have any. We're solid. We're firm. We're fundamental. We're independent. We are. But, you know, sometimes I'm driving down the road and go on my way somewhere to preach somewhere, and I'll go by a church, some little town or somewhere. I see some folks going in. And I may not even know the name of that church. But I'll pray for that church. That somehow God might speak to those people in that church. Whatever brand it is. That somehow the Word of God might get to some folks. And we need to... God help us not to lose sight of who He is and what he can do and our need of God in this day. And... I wouldn't pray for a church like that. Well, you better start praying for some of these folks. We need a move of God in our day, and I'm sure we'll hear from our good brother Lascelius that when God started moving, the names on the churches really weren't. God's just started moving. Amen. He didn't knock at the door and say, "This is Baptist Church." Okay, I'll come in. You know, God help us. In Psalm 119 and verse 160, okay, it says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Thy word is true from the beginning. I don't know what beginning that means, but I got some news for you. It's true from the beginning. Amen. whether it's the beginning of the universe, where the eternal Word was present with God, amen, or when the beginning of the writing of the Word. You take anywhere you want to go with it, it's true from the beginning, amen. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thank God the Word of God is not going away. It's not going anywhere. It's staying right where it is. Thank God. And Psalm, of course, you know Psalm 119, verse 89. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. No matter what they try to do with it down here, God's word is forever settled in heaven. You know, and Jesus said in John, I'll get to my message here in a minute. But Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, he was talking about the word. He says, I do not judge you. He said, the words that I've said, there's what's going to judge you. The words that I've said. And those who have heard the word of God, the same thing, oh, don't give me that Jesus stuff. Don't give me that Bible stuff and all this, whatever. You know, but I got some good news for you and me, and I got some bad news for those who are lost or reject the word or despisers of the word. That the same word is going to meet them at the judgment. The same things that Jesus said are going to meet them at the judgment. John 12, verse 48. Okay. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, as we open this book, the book of books, your book, your holy book. Father, I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Father, continue to lay our hope on those things which we have known and heard, Lord, that we might hold fast and continue in those things. And God, might we press on in our day, remain faithful, and Lord, to have some kind of stability in this world in which we live that can only come from you, Lord. You are our foundation and our hope and our sustainer, and you're our helper. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are and how you've loved us. How amazing it is so many times, Lord, when we look in the mirror and examine our own hearts, why you even continue with us. But you've loved us with an everlasting love. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. We'll give you our praise for what you do this day and throughout the rest of the camp. In Jesus' name, amen. That reminds me, and I do mean to get to Proverbs 14. That reminds me, back in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 7, we're all familiar with verse 14, if my people called by my name, we're familiar with that. But you know, when you start out there in the chapter and how it made a finishing of the prayer and how God's presence filled up the house. And even those who were supposed to be in the house, the priests, the ones who were supposed to do the service, that they couldn't get in. I tell you what, we've moved into the church and moved God out in this day. I pray that God would move in our churches these days and starting in our lives. When you read, and I was going to go through a little bit of that, something maybe, I don't know whether I will or not, but when you look back in Chronicles and the history of the kings and so forth. And one thing you notice is the king was a good king. One of the first things that they did when they were appointed king, they began to deal with things concerning the house of God. And started, you know, getting the idols out and repairing the doors of and what do we need in this day in our land? We need some leaders, of course, are attached to the things of God. But again, as our good brother, Dr. Finnegan, mentioned last night, it's got to begin at the church house. You know, where is the problem in America? Now, I'm way ahead of myself here. I'm a mess. But where is the problem in America? Again, we're so quick, this senator, the president, whatever. So, by the way, let me say this, and then I'm done. Get off it. had a man at a used car dealer, and he makes a stab at being a profession of being Christian. He asked me one day, he knows who I am, what I do, and he said, do you think that Jesus Christ would have voted for Barack Obama? And I don't mean to be political. And I knew that was kind of a loaded question, because you say something, then they'll use your name. Yeah, this preacher said this or that or whatever, you know. And I thought for a moment, I believe the Lord gave me the answer, the correct answer. You can do what you want with it. I said to him, I believe that Barack Obama was tailor-made by God for the United States of America. He looked at me like you're looking at me. What do you mean? I said, hey, we kick God out of the schools. We don't want God in the government. You can't mention Jesus in school, and abortion and all these things. We want to do everything our own way. You don't want righteousness, don't want righteous leadership and so forth. And God said, well, here you go. Have it. See how you like it for a while. Yeah, do you like me now? This type of thing. Well, God help us. All right, the word of the Lord is right. Proverbs chapter 14. I mean to speak today. I preached this message at least from this text in prison. And I preach better when I consider people as prisoners. I enjoy preaching in the... I'll tell you why. I don't know how to explain it, but when the guys come out for services in the prisons, even in the maximum security and different places, when they come out for service, they want to hear from the Word of God. They don't want to hear little stories. Once upon a time, I was out west and the sun was coming up and the flowers were blooming and all the little birdies were going tweet, tweet, tweet. You know, isn't God wonderful? They want to hear from the Word of God. And that's what we need in this, you know, the famine. By the way, you know, the Bible says there's going to be a famine in the land of what? Of the hearing of the Word of God. Of the hearing. Think about it. I'm quite settled on that yet, but of the hearing of the Word of God. Does that mean it's not going to be any preaching of it? Or does that mean that folks don't want to listen to it anymore? Now, somebody figure that out for me. Okay. Proverbs chapter 14. And I want to talk about the estate of the backslider. The estate of the backslider. When I was a lad, church I went to, even though it was Arminian and you lose your salvation and all this type of thing, it was during a day when I was a kid, and they preached on heaven, they preached on hell, they preached that Jesus, and they preached a lot about Jesus was coming again. I mean, they preached and they warned you, you need to be ready, you better be ready. I remember laying in my bed, I was 7 or 8 years old. And some of you heard me tell this story before. I was laying in my bed when I was 7 or 8 years old, watching one of those little old GE alarm clocks that has a lighted dial, you know, the electric alarm clock, and the second hand's going around. I remember laying, I remember laying on my pillow watching that thing going around, worried that Jesus was coming again and that I wasn't ready. Don't tell me kids can't learn something in church. And I knew I wasn't ready. I knew there was something was wrong. And I'd seen some of these folks weep and pray. And they had something I didn't have. Well, by the time I was eighteen and somebody brought a Bible and witnessed to me and so on, and I'll go through all that, I found out what I was missing. His name starts with a J and ends with an S, amen. I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. And my sin came. I didn't know what was the matter with me. I'd lay awake at night. I was playing college football at that time, and I mean, you needed your sleep. I mean, they were rough on you. And I'd lay awake at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. All of my sins were coming in. And thank God, Psalm 32, thy hand was heavy upon me. God was being merciful to me. Yes, that's how I spell relief. Amen. Day and night. And God, and I didn't know how. I tried apologizing to people. I tried calling people and apologizing for things I'd done or said or whatever. And that gave me a little bit. It felt good to, you know, try to get it right. But I didn't have peace. I didn't have the answer. But the day I accepted Christ as my Savior, The burden was gone. It's just as you can turn the lights on and off here, the burden was gone. I didn't know what had happened, but I tell you what, when I walked home from that little church, I'd never even been in it before. A little country Baptist church. Wandered in one day. But I knew when I was walking away from that church, this is something was different. I didn't know what it was, but something was different. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We thank God for that. Now, I am not getting much to my message, am I? All right. But you know, I believe we do need in this day. Dr. Finnegan gave part of his testimony last night when he received Christ. The Apostle Paul, three times at least in the book of Acts, gave a testimony of what happened. See? And we can have a testimony to folks that God is alive, that Jesus is real. And we can talk about our theology all we want to. And I'm not, you know, not against theology. All right. I need to get back to the message. All right, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Let me say that again. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. One more time. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Very simply put, before I go into some of it, very simply put is this. The backslider in heart, filled with his own ways, he's looking for something out here. A good man, a man that knows the Lord, has a right relationship. That, you know, that's a Bible concept of a good man. He's satisfied right in here. Okay? He doesn't need everything. By the way, we're all guilty of this in this day in which we live. You got to have this and you got to have that and you got to have the other thing. But the person who knows the Lord should satisfy. Great peace have they. Don't need all this stuff. I understand we need a vehicle to get from here. That's not what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm saying here. It says he'll be satisfied from within or from himself. Backslider in heart, he's got to have something else. And you can just fill in the blank, whatever that something else is. Now I want to go to a scripture before I lose my time here. And go with me just to follow this subject for just a moment. Let me make a note here just about the word backslider. We need to understand this. The word backslider does not mean that somebody was trying to make progress and like standing in the snow going uphill and you're slipping and sliding back hill and you're trying as hard as you can and you're sliding back. That's not what it's talking about. The word to backslide means to turn. It means to go back. It means to move away. And what does that mean? And what that means to you and to me is that this man, the backslider in his heart, is turning away from something and going for something else. He's turning away from the ways of the Lord and turning away from the Word or what God is speaking to his heart, and he's pursuing his own way. By the way, there's nobody here backslidden. No, not us. I'd venture to say, and I'll just leave it at that, I believe every one of us may be backslidden in some area where we've turned away from the Lord and what He's told us very plainly to do. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm trying to be of some kind of help. That's what I tell the prisoners all the time. And I said, I'm not yelling at you guys. I tell them, I love you guys. And I want you to hear the Word, and I want you to know what God says to you, and they accept it. But again, the word of the Lord is right. So this individual is backslider. We have the concept of sliding back, but the sliding back has that the man has turned his face away from things that he needs to do and followed after those things which he wants to do. And I don't mean that he's, Brother Finnegan talked about the changing your water. I'll tell you what, James chapter 1, verse 14, tells us that a man is drawn aside of his own lust. Say, and those things, and all of a sudden our flesh, well, let's move on. Let me get on to the words. Of course, the next were backslider and heart. The heart refers to, obviously to the inner man and the desires and the appetites and the inclinations. So this isn't something that's outside of him. Now, he may be pursuing things outside of him, but he's backsliding inside of himself. He's backsliding in his center, in his heart. It's the heart that's drawn aside. Heart pursuing after things that we shouldn't pursue after, instead of pursuing the things of God. Amen. So it's a backslider. It's not, it was that thing. It was that thing out there. It was that thing's fault. Or it was this person's fault. I tell you what, judgment again begins at the house of the Lord. And judgment begins right here in our own heart. You say, well, this person deceived me. Or this guy. Or that girl. Or this or whatever and so on. But I tell you what, we're accountable for our own doings. I don't mean this message to be negative, but nonetheless, in the heart, it said be filled. The word filled means to be satiated or satisfied, like with food, to be filled up. We eat dinner over there, and all of a sudden, after about the second plate, you go, I'm filled. And that's what the word means. I'm filled. It says the backslider in heart shall be filled or satisfied with his appetites of his heart, filling himself with his own ways. Pursuing his own desires, rather than pursuing the heart, the ways of the Lord. See? Feeding his heart on his own inclinations. The word way in the Hebrew refers to a road or a path. A way can refer to metaphorically to a manner of life. It's a proper word for a road and a path. He pursues his own roads. Turn with me for a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself, but turn with me for a moment over to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16, so thus saith the Lord, this is a kind of a stop, look, and listen verse. It says, stand ye in the ways. Stand ye in the ways. What's the Bible mean when it says stand? It means to stop. Stand. Stop. Wherever you're going, whatever's happening, whatever path you're going down, it means stop. And look. That's what it says. It says, stop ye in the ways and see. And ask, that means you're going to have to listen. So stop, look, and listen, okay? And ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein. Walk in that. See? We're not asking where the good ways are. We're looking for, where's my next whatever? Okay? Ask for the old paths, walk therein. And ye shall find what? There it is. Ye shall find rest, peace, stability. Christians should be that type of a person that other people come to and ask them for advice because they find some kind of stability in your character. I don't mean we have all, well, we do have the answer book. We should have a stability in the Lord, peace, rest. How come you're not falling all apart when everything's going sideways? Well, I've got peace. We need to remember that in this day. And we tend to get all upset about everything going, carrying on. We need to be people that have rest and peace because we're in the right way. We're in the good way. There is a good way. It's not any man's way. It's good. It's a good way. Find rest for your what? Your inner person, amen. You've rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I'm going to do it my, like Sinatra or whatever, I'll do it my way. Like the, you know, our kids say, well, I want to do it my, you know, I want to do my own, I want to do my own thing. Yeah, I'm running out of time. Okay. We will not walk therein. He says, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. What's a trumpet? In those days, it's the same thing it was in the military and whatever. They blew the trumpet was a warning. I knew they blew the ram's horn for worship or so forth, but I think that the watchman and the trumpet in this case is the warning. I've set someone, a watchman, over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We're not going to walk in the right ways, and we're not going to listen. See? But what about you and me? And I just don't want to point at the folks out there. I don't talk about the drunk in the ditch out there. I'm talking about folks that claim to be Christians. Claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They go to church on Sunday morning, once in a while at least. Right? How about you and me? I heard a good message last week. A fellow was talking about revival. And he's not a pastor or anything, but he was talking about revival. He was asked to speak about revival. He did some said revival in this area looked like this, and they had a revival up Toronto, and it looked like this. And he did some historical study, and a revival in churches sometimes looked like this. But he asked this question. I mean, he hit the nail right on the head. He says, but what does revival look in you? What does revival look like in you? Say, by the way, you're right in the front row, and I'm picking right. Yes. But what does revival look like in you and me? Oh, revivals, they had the great revivals here and the great whatever. Yeah, but what about right here in hometown USA inside this chest? What about you and me? What's revival look like in you and me? Well, let me go on and get on my way here. All right, this is not what walk there is. Isaiah 53 in verse 6, we're all familiar with that. What is the sin of the world? One sin that the whole world is guilty of. All of we like sheep have gone astray. Okay? Notice the next phrase, it says, we have turned every one to what? His own way. Now we're quick to point out, oh, well, Brother So-and-so, boy, he messed up, you know, whatever. And that's, or this person there, there's people out there that we're all campaigning against. You know, they're very quick to campaign against the homosexuals, down with, you know, whatever, big signs and so forth. And it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible sin. I understand that. But why aren't we campaigning down with backbiters, down with liars, down with cheats, down with those who don't follow the Lord in the church? I mean, you know, we could have a whole lot of things. But you say, well, this person sinned. Look what they did. Terrible thing. Yeah, but what did you do? How did you turn away from God? What was your own way? See? That may have been his way that may be his main, there's a lot of ways, but it may be his main way of going away from the Word of God. But what's your way of going away from the Word of God? See? Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one into his own way, but thank God and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Turn with me. I want to catch some more of the scriptures. I'd rather hear what they have to say than what I have to say. Amen. In Isaiah 30 and verse 1. Isaiah 30 and verse 1. You see a principle here. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. By the way, that's what's missing in the church today. Thus saith the Lord. Well, we think, it doesn't matter what you think. Well, my opinion, I didn't ask you what your opinion was. Well, preacher so-and-so, I don't ask you what preacher, I hope he said the right thing. Yeah, but my denomination, I hope your denomination believes the right thing. Well, what about thus saith the Lord, amen? Okay, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, like in Psalm 1, take counsel from the wicked. He said, that take counsel, he says, but not of me. We're looking for advice from everybody and their brother and this and that, and what about this and the other thing, whatever. But what about taking the advice of God? God, what do you think about this? God, what do you think about what I'm doing? God, what do you think about the path I'm walking on or the way I'm going? God, what do you think about it? See? Take counsel. Woe unto them. Notice what he says, yeah. And the cover with a covering. Everybody's looking for, hey, I tell you what, everybody's looking for a covering. They're looking for a shelter. They're looking for protection. They're looking for, you know, nobody wants to stand out there on top of a post all by themselves. Everybody wants a covering. I don't know about you. When I get depressed, I want to jump in bed and pull the covers up over me. How about you? But everybody's looking for a covering. Some kind of protection, something. God says here, he says that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Now what's this verse say to you and to me? That verse is saying to you and to me, we need to get our counsel from the Lord, and we need to have ourselves covered. Of course, we believe in the indwelling in New Testament age, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we need that the cover over our lives and our homes is the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have to amen myself on that one. And by the way, this doesn't mean that we become some kind of Christian snobs that walk around with our nose up in the air. You know, and aren't kind of people, sinner folk. You know, Jesus was kind of, the folks he had a problem with was a religious crowd. Went in the temple, they wanted to beat him up. But he went out by the well and found a woman that was messed up in sin, and he asked her for a drink of water. Yeah. And notice what it says, God's conclusion about that. He says that they're adding sin unto sin at the end of the verse. They're just adding sin on top of sin. Not only have they turned away from me and not done the right thing, and they're not asking for cover, they're just adding sin right on top of sin. It's one thing about making a compromise. Once you make a compromise in life, you get a compromise mindset. And that compromise may pop up in some other area. Also, because you've already, you know, you say, well, now look what I've done. I've compromised, and what's the use? And oh, I'm not going to that. Not eating that sin unto sin. They that walk to go down to Egypt, and they have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. What are we trusting in? We're trusting in the shadow of the world. You know, or our bank account. I understand we need a dollar at the grocery store or two or three or whatever. But we're trusting in the shadow of Egypt. Rather, the point of the principle of the matter here is we're trusting in the shadow of Egypt and we're not trusting in the shadow of the Almighty. Under the everlasting and the support by the everlasting arms. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 5. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Turn over to chapter 31 and verse 1. God's talking about shame and reproach, and it seems like nobody has any shame anymore. They're not afraid to do anything, or not afraid to say anything. And by the way, there's things when I was a kid you wouldn't even, you know, our parents didn't even talk about in front of you. Even the subject of divorce. I mean, just picking that out. I mean, not picking on anybody, okay? Mom would just say to dad, say, you know, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. They're getting a divorce. I mean, he wouldn't even use the word. You know what I'm saying? I'm off. But let me say this. The problem is not the laws that they make in Washington, D.C. We say, oh, look, they passed a law that I hate to keep picking on homosexuals, but the gays can get married in such and such or this and that. Hey, I tell you what. What about the churches that are marrying them? How about that? Okay, and I'm not hammering on them. That's a symptom. I mean, that's a result of the Church of the Living God not preaching the Word of God. And I don't mean just shouting and calling everybody names and spitting and whatever, but I mean preaching what thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Now, we can be kind to sinners. The thing that bothers me is the folks that claim to be followers of the Lord, and they're in all this. Same thing with the, well, I guess the Lord. He had quite a few words for the religious crowd. It was kind to the. I appreciate what Dr. Finnegan said last night. You know, I came to a conclusion one time here, just recently, and down and on myself, and I said, you know, and I do ministry in a mental institute and prisons, and you know, and nursing homes where folks are half dead, you know, and juvenile with kids off the streets and so forth. I go to a church and they preach there and they don't ask you back or whatever. And you kind of get down on yourself, you know. I said, man, I'm just ministering on the outer fringe. You know, the churches don't want these people. I began to weep and I said, well, maybe I'm in good company. Because that's the people that the Lord himself went to. The church didn't want him. I mean, the existing, they didn't want to hear what he had to say. But the folks gathered to him on the hillside. And when he was in a boat and in the wilderness, they wanted to hear what our Lord had to say. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know.
Amen.
There's nobody like him. Isaiah 31, verse 1, woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. They look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek they the Lord. You know, our country, and I love America, our country, you know, we may have all the rockets, boats, guns, ships, tanks, missiles, and whatever in the whole worldwide world. But if we're not getting help from God, we'll go right down the tube. Just like that. And we need the help of the Lord. And it's got to start with you and me. It's got to start. What did Paul write to Timothy? Told him to continue in the things that he'd learned. How about you and me continue in the things that we learned? And then God mentions, second verse after, he said that all the scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And he said, there's where it's at in the book. And he tells them to continue and to hold fast. Three times in the book of Hebrews, it tells us to hold fast, you know, and to continue and hang on. And one time in the, but the basic thing is that Jesus is coming again. Hang on. Hang on. Well, I'm just about out of time, Let me ask you this question. It's a personal question for you and for me. Let me ask you this question, and I expect an answer. What's the matter with God? What's wrong with God? What's the matter with him? You can answer it if you want to. The prisoners answered it. They answered it quick. Turn with me over to back to Jeremiah again, chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 5. Jeremiah 2 and verse 5. And says, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 2 verse 5, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? When we follow vain things, we become vain. And God's basically saying, what have they found wrong with me that they've gone their own way? The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Two verses before that in Proverbs 14 says, "A way which seemeth right unto a man." Hey, it looks good to me. That started in the Garden of Eden. Oh, it looks good to me. Well, I touched it, nothing happened. I smelled it, nothing happened. And doesn't seem to be anything. And that's why we toy with sin. See? Just a little bit by little bit by little bit. And next thing you know, crunch, there you go. Take a bite out of the fruit. All right. And then you eat the rest of it. It starts with a bite. But it starts first with a look. And it starts in the heart. That's where it's at. A backslider in the heart shall be filled with his own ways. Are we filled with our own? Whose ways are you filled with? God help us to be filled with his ways. You know, sometimes people may wonder why you don't go with them to with this or that, and you're not really interested in that. And you know why that is? That primarily is due to the fact that your heart is filled up with other ways, the ways of the Lord. See? And that doesn't mean that we're snooty and looking, oh my, I'd never do something like that, you know. Micah chapter 6 in verse 3. Micah chapter 6 in verse 3. O my people, Micah 6 and verse 3, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. In other words, God's saying, what I do unto you? If we're going to go our own way and we're tired of God's way, God's saying, well, what's wrong with me? Why don't? By the way, the proper answer to what's wrong with God, the answer is nothing. There's nothing wrong with him. That's the answer the prisoners gave in a hurry. There's nothing wrong with God. Because they know there's a lot wrong with them. And they're looking for him. The guys that come out seeking the Lord. They're looking for an answer. They're looking for an answer. God says, O my people, what have I done unto thee? Verse 4, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now that Balak the king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know that the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with ten thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord require. The Lord, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with thy God? That means to walk in his ways and not your own ways. God's saying, what have I done? Have I done something wrong? You don't want to follow me? And if there's nothing wrong with God, then why don't we follow him? Jesus said in John 8, and I believe it's verse 46, he says, if I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? And if you say you believe me, then why don't you follow me? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And they do what? They follow me. We follow the Lord Jesus. Is there anybody in the whole worldwide world we'd rather be like than our Savior, the Lord Jesus? God help us to be more like the Master. More like the Master. I want to conclude with a good word. And turn back with me to, I call it the classic passage on backsliding, First Samuel, I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. First Samuel chapter 12. You know, we really need to find out in this day and age. I think we need to re-find out who Jesus is. You know, we got many times to go to a conference or go to a place and they're talking about, this point of theology or this part of the denomination. How about telling me something about Jesus? Amen. I want to hear about my master. And amen. And by the way, that's why we lack in faith in this day. We're not hearing the Word of God. We're hearing all these stories and this and that and the other. And how about something from Thus Saith the Lord? Amen. And this is the last passage we'll go to as I... By the way, let me say this. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I just have to throw this other one in. In John 18 and John chapter 19, three times Pilate says about Jesus, when they brought him before him, he said, "I find no fault in him at all." Three times. Examine him again. He says, "I find no fault in him." If a lost man and a good leader and whatever can say, "I find no fault," what about you and me? And we need to present that kind of a Jesus to a lost world. A perfect Jesus who came into the world, came from glory to earth. And the world, as it were, rejected him. He came unto his own, came into the world, and his own received him not. His creation, his world, we will not have this one, this man to rule over us. But yet he came and died for the rebellious. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 12. We'll start verse 19. We'll just read it. And all the people, 1 Samuel 12, verse 19, said unto Samuel, "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." You know, if we've messed up in some way, if we're a child of God, don't give up. The Word of God is press on with a God who is a restorer and a builder and a forgiver. Amen. And Jesus still loves me, this I know.
Yes, he does.
Amen. And that's good. And turn not aside, verse 21. Turn not aside, for then ye should go. Then should ye go after vain things. Vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. I have to come to just to believe in faith that somehow it pleased God to save me. And how do you answer that? It pleased him to do it. Our God dwells in the heaven, Psalm 115, verse 3, and done whatsoever he pleased. Isaiah 53, to please the Father to put him to grief, put the Son of God on the cross, put his Son on the cross for you and me. How do you explain that? I hear a preacher say here years ago, he said, he had some children, he said, "I wouldn't give my son for you. I wouldn't give my son for," no, he says, "I wouldn't give my son for a drunkard." He says, "And I wouldn't give my son for you." But God did. Verse 23, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Notice Samuel's attitude in ceasing to pray for you. "But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. What that means practically to me, I don't know all the whatever behind it, but I'll tell you what that means practically to me. From the smallest to the biggest, sin will eat you up. If you're going to go out, you're going to follow after it, that's, you'll be consumed. All right. I promised no more verses, but I got to go one more. I'm sorry. If you turn with me to Judges chapter 10, and I promise I'll quit. Just thinking is a passage that we need to consider. Dealing with true repentance. When's the last time you saw somebody? I ask this question quite a few places I preach. When's the last time you saw somebody repent in a church house? You know, we go to certain places, and Dr. Finney was mentioned last night. You know, they put the songs up on the wall, and everybody's clapping, waving their hand, and singing, and then And I'm not against having a good time in the Lord and singing and praising the Lord. I'm not against that at all. But when's the last time you saw somebody repent? Tell you what, I've seen them repent in prison. Now, I don't know where it all went to, but I tell you what, I see some guy get out of his seat and go over by the wall and get down on his knees and start weeping and say, "Oh, God, forgive me for what I've done." Don't make of it what, well, that's prison house religion or jail house. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I tell you what, maybe we need some of that in the church house. Maybe we need some church house religion. I don't know. Okay. Judges chapter 10, verse 10. We'll just read the passage. What the difference between false repentance and true repentance in this passage. It's a classic passage on it. "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam." Well, that sounds like repentance to me, doesn't it? It sounds like it, but amen or not, it's not. Be careful your amen there, brother. It's not true repentance. "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam." And notice what the Lord said. "And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon? And from the Philistines, the Sidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites, and did oppress you, and ye cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more." Notice what God says. He gives them advice. He says, "Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." In other words, these things that you've pursued, whatever you thought was going to, you know, make it or break it for you and all this stuff, go to those things. Let them get you out of your jam. Don't call unto me. You've followed these things and now you got your fingers in a ringer. You got yourself in a pinch and you're crying, "Oh God, help me, oh God, help me, oh God, help me." And God says, "I'm not going to deliver you." Well, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Look back in your Bible. It's right there. Okay? "And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Now they're repenting. So we've sinned. And you do whatever you want to with us. And that's where it comes for you and me. Say, "God, I've not done that. You do whatever you want to with me. I'm yours. You do whatever you want." "Whatever seemeth good unto thee." Then they said, "Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. When they put away those things that filled up their heart, those things that would, the backslider in heart filled with their own ways or whatever, when they put those things away, and there was when John the Baptist said, "Bring me some fruits, meat for repentance, and faith without works is dead." Okay, that there's some kind of an evidence. And when God saw that the reality of the matter, he said his heart, he was grieved. What a God! You know, we're often talking about, you know, the Almighty and the wrath and so forth, and that's a fact. But for you and for me, God loves us, and he's grieved. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Come on. We grieve the Holy Ghost. They put away the strange gods from among them, served the Lord, and his soul is grieved for the children of Israel. Well, God help us this day. The backslider, the estate of the backslider. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways and not the ways of the Lord. And we need to be careful as the people of God that we're following in his ways. We're examining the paths and asking for the good path. Wherein is the good way? And walk in that way and serve the Lord our God. Let me God help us today. Father, bless us and thank you for your word. Pray you've spoken to somebody's heart today, especially my own. Help us, Lord, to be known as followers in the way, followers of the way, of your Son, who is the way and the truth and the life, by whom we have come unto you. And we'll give you our praise and thanks. Continue with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.